The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight are the final words of the verse number 2 of Zechariah chapter number 3. It says, "There is not this a brand plucked out of the fire." The hymn writer could say, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." And by those words there, the hymn writer was highlighting and magnifying the grace of God in their salvation. And my, we are wonderfully reminded of God's grace and salvation through the words of our text tonight, when the Lord here speaks of Joshua of old and says, "Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Joshua here was a high priest in Jerusalem at the time whenever Israel as a nation returned from Babylon after 70 years of captivity. He was a contemporary of the prophet Zechariah, the prophet Haggai, and also the scribe Ezra. And he was to minister at that time in particular when the temple in Jerusalem was to be rebuilt again for the worship of God. And in this chapter, you'll see that Zechariah has a vision of this man, Joshua. And the initial vision is that Joshua is depicted as a fallen and indeed as a degenerate priest. However, as the vision progresses, a change takes place. There is a transformation. And you will see that Joshua is no longer seen as a fallen priest, but rather he is viewed and portrayed as one who is cleansed, one who is pardoned from sin, one who is clothed and crowned before the Lord. Look at verses 3 to 5 of the chapter. It says, "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by." At the end of verse 2, our text this evening, the Lord's description of Joshua is this: "Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" And those words there, not only do they describe Joshua at this time, but these all words also describe God's saving grace in the life of all whom God saves. Everyone who is converted to Christ, everyone who is saved by God's grace, is indeed a brand plucked out of the fire. That is how it is with all who are saved by the grace of God. And as we would consider then these words highlighting God's grace and salvation, there are three things I want you to notice from these words before us tonight. Notice first of all here how we see the awfulness of sin depicted. And the awfulness of sin here is seen in the use of the word fire. The Lord says, "Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" And as you read through your Bible, read through the Word of God, you will often see this truth, how God uses the word fire as an emblem or a description of sin. You think of the words of Jude, verse 23. There Jude says, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." And there Jude, he talks of people being rescued from the fire. And the spiritual meaning there of those words is that in salvation, a person is saved from the fire of sin in their heart and life. My, this here would show to us that sin is a terrible reality. And just as fire is a terrible reality, my, just as fire can be seen and fire can be felt, so also sin is a terrible reality. And indeed the effects of sin can be seen and felt in the world all around us. Oh, people understand this tonight, that sin is an awful reality. People's sin is a reality that it is an evil in God's sight. That's how it is with sin in God's sight. It's an evil. And my, it creates awful havoc in the world and people's lives. And it is a reality that no one can deny. It's a reality that cannot be gainsaid. What does the Bible say? It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. My, it is wrong to deny the reality of sin. My, it is but a deception in the heart of man to say there is no sin. It's an awful reality, a terrible reality. What is sin? It's the breaking of God's law. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law of God, the breaking of God's commandments. It's the missing, coming short of God's standard for our lives, coming short of the glory of God. Think of how a footballer would take a penalty shot at the goal, and as he kicks the ball, he misses the goal, he misses the target. And that's really what sin is. It is man missing God's target, God's will, God's goal for his life, coming short of the glory of God. Oh, as we think here tonight of fire depicting sin, oh, see that sin is a terrible reality. Sin also is a reality that spreads just like fire. We all know that fire can spread from one building to another, from one room to another, from one place to another. And so it is with sin. Sin is something that spreads. Think of what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so that death have passed upon all mankind, for that all have sinned. And through the fall of her first parents, Adam and Eve, sin has passed down throughout the ages of time upon all of humanity. Sin has infected the entire human race. Does not the Bible say, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And because of that, you and I, each one of us, have been born into this world with a nature, a heart that is deceitful and sinful. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And as a result of that sinful nature, each one of us have a natural desire in our hearts to sin against God our Maker in thought and word and deed. Oh, sin's an awful reality. Sin is something that spreads. Sin is also awful because of its deceitfulness. You think of a tiny spark. It can cause great flames, which in turn can do awful harm. And so likewise, sin can do awful harm, terrible harm, to our lives and to the lives of others around us in society. You remember what the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13? It says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And there the Word of God speaks of the deceitfulness of sin. There the Word of God speaks of hearts being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What a warning that is to each one of us about sin. Friend, in our meeting this evening, let me make it clear that if you do not repent of your sins before God, if you continue to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what's the outcome? The outcome is that your heart is going to harden. Harden in sin more and more. And my such hardening in sin will reap havoc. It will reap trouble in your lives and indeed in the lives of others around you. It will lead you further and further away from God. It will lead you further and further into ways and into paths that are wrong in the sight of God. Make no mistake about that. Such is the deceitfulness of sin. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The devil window dresses sin. He polishes it up. Makes it look nice and dazzling and attractive. But the reality is this. The way of the transgressor is hard. There's hardness. There's difficulty. There's ruin. There's havoc. The Bible says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. My, there's no pleasure in sin. The Bible says the pleasures of sin last only for a season. You look at our world tonight with all its trouble, all its heartbreak in the world, and sin is the culprit. Sin is the cause of it all. Because sin always reaps an awful harvest. You think tonight of the prodigal son that the Lord Jesus Christ tells you about in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And this is what you read about him in verse number 13 and verse number 14. It says of this prodigal son, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He was now at rock bottom corner, so to speak. Why? Because of the havoc, the deceitfulness of sin in his life. He had a good home, he had a good father, he had all the provision there that he needed. Yet because of sin and a desire for sin and the things of this world, he turned his back upon it. He went into the world and he began to be in want. He was down in the depths and the mire of sin. Because sin reaps an awful havoc. It reaps an awful catastrophe in lives. Sin is like a fire. And a fire is an awful thing. It does awful harm, awful destruction. Causes awful pain and awful anguish. And that is how it is with sin. And friend, understand this tonight, that if you leave this world still in your sins, in other words, without your sins being forgiven and pardoned by God, then your soul and your body will be tormented eternally in hell, the lake of fire, that place of literal fire, unending fire, forever and ever. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. The Bible says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, punishment and judgment that will never end. Oh, see here tonight the awfulness of sin. It's a fire that will destroy your life. It's a fire that will take your soul away from the scene of time, down into hell, the blackness of darkness forever, the lake of fire, the bottomless pit, that place of eternal separation from God, that place of eternal judgment and punishment. For sin, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire, out of the burning? Oh, as you think of these words here before you tonight, see the awfulness of sin, the awfulness of sin. But not only do you see the awfulness of sin here, we see something else from our text this evening. We also see the condition of every sinner before God. Look again at our text and what it says in Zechariah chapter 3 in the verse number 2. It says, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And there you'll see that the Lord describes Joshua, he says, as a brand plucked out of the fire. I want you to underline that word brand there as you find it in the verse. What is a brand in Bible terms? In the context there, it's a reference to an old stick, an old twig that is only fit for burning. And thereby that word brand, the condition of every sinner before God is highlighted and described for us. My, just as a brand is an unprofitable twig or branch that is fit only for burning, so every sinner, the Bible makes this clear, is unprofitable before God in their sinful state. Listen to what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 3 in the verse number 12. It says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And what do those words mean? Those words really mean that in and of ourselves, you and I have nothing, nothing whatsoever to merit God's favor. We have nothing whatsoever to merit God's salvation and to profit, so to speak, before God. As far as salvation is concerned, each one of us are unprofitable servants at best, the Bible says. Just also as this brand here in our text was actually in the fire, so this also reminds us how every sinner is steeped in the fire of sin. What did David say about himself in Psalm 51? He said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In other words, he was saying every part of his being, in his heart and in his soul, the deepest recess of his heart and soul was affected and tainted by sin before Almighty God. It affected every part of his being. No part of his being was exempt from the effects of sin. Might just also, as this brand was actually perishing here in the fire as it was burning, as it is mentioned in our text. So this also reminds us how every sinner is literally perishing in their sin. You think of the words of Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, what did he say? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And as the Son of God viewed man, and as he looked out upon man, be he religious or non-religious, be he Jew or be he Gentile, as he looked upon man in his natural state, his natural condition as a sinner before God, he saw him as one who was perishing in his sin before God. You think tonight of a person drowning in the sea. They're perishing. They're gone down into the depths of the sea. And if you are still not saved in this gospel meeting tonight, let me say this. This is your plight as you sit in this gospel service here this evening, whatever your background is. You are perishing literally in your sin before Almighty God. And my sin is swallowing up your life, and eventually it will damn your soul if it is not dealt with before God in a lost eternity in hell. Make no mistake about that. The Bible says, sin when it is finished, bring you forth death. Why, this brand here was perishing in the fire. And as you sit in this meeting tonight, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, unsaved, you're perishing in your sin. Oh, that you would see this tonight. That God would take the scales from off your eyes. You're perishing in your sin before Almighty God. And something else here to note about this brand depicting the character of the sinner. Just as this brand was unable to save itself, so this again reminds us how every sinner is totally incapable of saving himself from a sin. Man in himself and of himself is totally unable. He is totally impotent as far as the salvation of his soul and salvation from sin is concerned. What does the Bible say in Ephesians 2 verse 9? It says, "Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast." This here brand in the fire could do nothing whatsoever to save itself. And man in and of himself, no matter who he is, no matter how religious or respectable that person might be, can do absolutely nothing. He can do nothing whatsoever to save his soul from sin. Now, there's not one work of self. There is not one work of rite or ceremony of man, no matter how orthodox those works or rites or ceremonies might be, that you and I can do, not one thing we can do ourselves that will rescue us and save us from the fire of sin and from the awful ruin and catastrophe of our sin. We are totally weak. We are totally helpless. You and I, we're totally hopeless. What does the Bible say about unconverted man? It says, the wicked shall be holden with the cords of the sin. In other words, he cannot break free himself from the bondage and the fetters of sin. And understand this tonight, when it comes to salvation from our sins, you and I, we are weak, we are helpless, we are hopeless. Yes, we must acknowledge with the psalmist David and cry out before God, "Behold, I am poor and needy." Oh, there's not one thing that you and I can do or can give that will contribute to salvation. Salvation is not of works. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before Almighty God. Think of the very best things that you can do. Pile them all together. My, you may reform your life. You may have an interest in gospel preaching. You may read your Bible. You may say your prayers. You may attend God's house regularly in the Lord's Day. You may be good and kind to your neighbor. But all those things together, I tell you, cannot save your soul. They cannot deal with the awful problem and ruin of sin in your heart and life before Almighty God. Oh, they cannot save you. They cannot fit you for heaven. What did Isaiah say before the Lord? He says, "Woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." He knew himself as a sinner before God. What did the Apostle Paul say? "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul reckoned himself to be the chiefest of sinners. And he was a man who was devoutly religious in the eyes of others. Yet he knew and he saw and he felt himself to be a lost, guilty, hopeless, helpless, poor and needy sinner before God. Friend, in the meeting tonight on sea, if this is how it is with you, just like this brand here in our text tonight that could do nothing whatsoever to deliver itself from the flame and from the fire, so you can do nothing yourself, nothing of man that will save your soul, that will deal with the awful problem, the awful ruin of your sin. Yes, we see here the awfulness of sin in the fire. We see the condition of every sinner before God and the brand. But notice one final thought here tonight from this text. Notice the wonder here of God's salvation. I want you to see this. Look at what our text says in its entirety. It says, "Is not this a brand plucked out of the burning?" Think of those words, plucked out of the burning. And those words describe Joshua being plucked as a brand out of the fire, out of the burning by the Lord. And this is how it is in the salvation of every sinner. Through God's Son, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, what does God do in salvation? God in grace, he plucks sinners out of the awful fire of sin. And through his Son and grace, he rescues them from the terrible consequences of their sin in a lost eternity in hell. He does the plucking. He does the saving by his grace and by his power through his Son. You see, God is a God, I tell you, of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of kindness, a God who is good. And in love, he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, willingly into this world. What for? To atone for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says this about Christ. "But now, once in the end of the world, have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And by that sacrifice upon the cross, as the Son of God, what did Jesus Christ do? He satisfied the justice of God. He made a way for sinners to be saved from the awful ruin of their sin, the awful fire of their sin, and the consequences of their sin. And that way is by faith alone. Faith alone. And the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ alone upon the cross of Calvary. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith." It has nothing to do with ourselves, but it's all to do with Christ. Faith in the Son of God, trusting Christ as Savior. And friend, if you put your faith and your trust in the sacrifice of Christ and the blood of Christ alone for your salvation, if you rest upon that sacrifice and trust in that sacrifice, I tell you this, God will save you from your sins. God in grace will pluck you as a brand from the burning and out of the awful fire of sin. He will save you for time and all of eternity. That's what God will do. And in doing so, he will forgive all your sins, all your iniquities. If you trust Christ to be your Savior, whatever those sins are, God will forgive them all. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's a promise to every man, every woman, every young person, every boy or girl who trusts Christ to be their Savior, who rests upon the sacrifice of Christ for their salvation through the blood of Christ. All their sins can be forgiven, blotted out, canceled before God. That's what God will do with your sin through Christ. Also something else, he will transform your life. He will change your life. He will enable you to live for him. He will enable you to live for his glory. He will break the chains and the fetters of sin that dominate and control and bind your life. The Bible says, "If the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed." The hymn writer spoke of liberty and gladness found in the Lord. Listen to what we read about Zacchaeus, who was saved. And after he was saved by faith in Christ, there was a wonderful change in his life. That was because of the grace of God changing his life. In Luke chapter 19, in verses 8 and 9, it says this, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." There was a complete mind change in the heart of Zacchaeus. He said, "Lord, if I've taken anything from any man falsely, I'm going to restore that fourfold." It was a complete change of direction in his life. And I tell you this, in salvation, the Lord is one who specializes in changing lives. I can't change your life. No preacher or minister or pastor or evangelist can change your life. But I tell you this, God can. The grace of God is sufficient to change your life, to turn it around, to give it new meaning, new purpose, new direction. And not only will he forgive your sins, not only will he transform your life when you trust Christ as your Savior, he will save you from hell. You'll be plucked as a brand from the burning, and he will fit you for heaven. He will give you a home of everlasting life in that place which the Bible calls heaven. Bible says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And this is what God will do for you in salvation. These are things you cannot, or man cannot, do for you. You cannot forgive your sins. You cannot change your life. You cannot provide a place for you in heaven. But Christ has provided such for you by his death upon the cross. Oh, see tonight the wonder of God's salvation. Is it any wonder the Bible describes it as a so great salvation? There's nothing greater tonight, I tell you, than God's salvation. And let me say just this, that salvation is an urgent matter. It's deeply urgent. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Why does the Lord say that in his word? He says it because if death comes for you, or if Christ comes again, and he is coming back again, then all hope of you ever being saved will be gone. Gone forever. There'll be no hope for you beyond the scene of time. Should death come, should Christ come, and he is coming in power and in great glory, to be the judge of the quick and the dead, the Bible says. Therefore, I would urge you tonight, if you're still not saved, this very night, to put your faith and your trust in Christ for your salvation. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Prepare to meet thy God. Nothing more important. Nothing more urgent. I was reading a wee leaflet the other day about pensions. And it says, how can we prepare for the future? You know, people may prepare for their pensions or whatever for the future, but really the all-important thing to prepare for, dear people, is death, eternity, the coming of Christ. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? If he should come tonight, will you be ready to meet him, to enter into glory? If death should come upon you tonight, will you be ready for heaven? Will it be absent from the body? Present with the Lord for you? There was once a man, he was a Hindu who was saved from the land of India. On occasion he was asked to give a word of testimony. And giving his testimony, he took a worm. He picked a worm up off the ground and he placed it in the middle of a circle of burning grass and burning leaves. And as the fire approached the worm, he snatched it up immediately out of the fire. He said, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, has done for me. I was once, he says, exposed to the fire of sin and the fire of God's wrath. But God, in his matchless grace, plucked me out of the fire of sin. He saved me by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ can do for you. Also in our meeting tonight, if you're still not saved, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon him tonight? Don't reject him. Don't turn your back upon him. He died for our sins. He rose again. He has purchased and provided a wonderful salvation. Come and trust him tonight. Know your sins dealt with, put away by the blood of the cross. Know the fetters of sin broken in your life. Know what it is to be saved from the wrath to come and to be ready for heaven.